Day 188. 1 Chronicles 4, 5 through 5:17. Asher had two wives, named Helah and Naarah. Naarah gave birth to Ahuzam, Hefer, Timni, and Hareshtari. Helah gave birth to Zerith, Izhar, Ethnan, and Koz, who became the ancestors of Anab, Zeboba, and all the families of Hariel, son of Haram. There was a man named Jabez, who was more distinguished than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and extend my lands. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him this request. Caleb was the father of Mehir. Mehir was the father of Ishton. Ishton was the father of Beth Rephah, Pesahah, and Tahina. Tahina was the father of Ir Nahash. These were the descendants of Rekah. The sons of Kenaz were Othniel and Seraiah. Othniel's sons were Hathith and Manoathiah. Manoathiah was the father of Ophrah. Seraiah was the father of Joab, the founder of the Valley of Craftsmen, so called because many craftsmen lived there. The sons of Caleb, son of Jephthonim, were Iru, Elah, and Naam. The sons of Elah were Kenaz. The sons of Jaleel were Ziph, Ziphahah, Tiriah, and Asriel. The sons of Zerah were Jether, Mered, Epher, and Jalon. Mered married an Egyptian woman who became the mother of Miriam, Shemaiah, and Ishba. Mered also married a woman of Judah who became the mother of Jared, Heber, and Jokuthiel. Mered's Egyptian wife was named Bithia and was an Egyptian princess. Hadiah's wife was a sister of Naham. One of her sons was the father of Kilah the Garmite, and another was the father of Eshtemoah the Maacathite. The sons of Shimon were Amnon, Rinah, Ben-Hanan, and Tilan. The descendants of Ishi were Noheth and Ben-Zoheth. Shelah was one of Judah's sons. The descendants of Shelah were Ladah, the families of linen workers at Beth Ashbi, Jochim, the people of Kozibah, Joash, and Seraph, who ruled over Moab and Jathubilehem. These names all come from ancient records. They were the potters who lived in Netaim and Gedaria. They all worked for the king. The sons of Simeon were Nemiel, Jamin, Jerib, Zerah, and Shaul. The descendants of Shaul were Shalom, Mibsam, and Mishma. The descendants of Mishma were Hemiel, Zakur, and Shimei. Shimei had 16 sons and daughters, but none of his brothers had large families. So Simeon's tribe never became as large as the tribe of Judah. They lived in Beersheba, Moladah, Hazar Shaul, Bilhah, Ezim, Tolad, Bethuel, Hormah, Ziklag, Beth Maacaboth, Hezshumi, Beth Biri, and Shariam. These towns were under their control until the time of King David. Their descendants also lived in Etam, Ain, Rimmon, Token, and Ashen, five towns and their surrounding villages as far away as Baalath. This was their territory, and these names are recorded in their family genealogy. Other descendants of Simeon include Meshabab, Jemlek, Joshah, son of Amaziah, Joel, Jehu, son of Joshabiah, son of Seraiah, son of Asiel, Elaniah, Jacobaba, Jeshohiah, Esiah, Adil, Jessamiel, Benaniah, and Ziza, son of Sephi, son of Elon, son of Jediah, son of Shimri, son of Shemaiah. These were the names of some of the leaders of Simeon's wealthy clans, who traveled the region of Gedor in the east part of the valley, seeking pasture land for their flocks. They found lush pastures there, and the land was quiet and peaceful. Some of Ham's descendants had been living in the region of Gedor. But during the reign of King Hazael of Judah, the leaders of Simeon invaded it and completely destroyed the homes of the descendants of Ham and of the Mennonites. They killed everyone who lived there and took the land for themselves, because they wanted its good pasture lands for their flocks. 500 of these invaders from the tribe of Simeon went to Mount Seir, led by Pelatiah, Neriah, Rephaiah, and Uzziel, all sons of Ishi. They destroyed the few Amalekites who had survived, and they had lived there ever since. 1 Chronicles 5. The oldest son of Israel was Reuben, but since he dishonored his father by sleeping with one of his father's concubines, his birthright was given to the sons of his brother Joseph. For this reason, Reuben is not listed in the genealogy as the firstborn son. It was the descendants of Judah that became the most powerful tribe and provided a ruler for the nation, but the birthright belonged to Joseph. The sons of Reuben, the oldest son of Israel, were Hanuk, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The descendants of Joel were Shemaiah, Gog, Shimi, Micah, Raiah, Baal, and Berah. Berah was the leader of the Reubenites when they were taken into captivity by King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. Berah's relatives are listed in their genealogy by their clans: Jaleel, Zechariah, and Bela, son of Azaz, son of Shema, son of Joel. These Reubenites lived in the area that stretches from Aror to Nebo and Baal-Milan. And since they had so many cattle in the land of Gilead, they spread eastward toward the edge of the desert that stretches to the Euphrates River. During the reign of Saul, the Reubenites defeated the Hagrites in battle. Then they moved into the Hagrite settlements all along the eastern edge of Gilead. Across from the Reubenites in the land of Bashan lived the descendants of Gad, who were spread as far east as Seleka. Joel was the leader in the land of Bashan, and Shaphem was second in command, along with Janai and Shaphat. These relatives, the leaders of the seven other clans, were Michael, Meshulam, Sheba, Jorea, Jakim, Zai, and Eber. These were all descendants of Abihail, son of Harai, son of Jeroah, son of Gilead, son of Michael, son of Jeshariah, son of Jadu, son of Buz, Ahai, son of Abdeel, son of Guni, was the leader of their clans. The Gadite lived in the land of Gilead, in Bashan and its villages, and throughout the Sharon Plain. All these were listed in the genealogical records during the days of King Jotham of Judah and King Jeroboam of Israel. Acts 25:1-27. 3 days after Festus arrived in Caesarea to take over his new responsibility, he left for Jerusalem, where the leading priests and other Jewish leaders met with him and made their accusations against Paul. They asked Festus as a favor to translate Paul, to transfer Paul to Jerusalem. Their plan was to waylay and kill him. But Festus replied that Paul was at Caesarea, and he himself would be returning there soon. So he said, "Those of you in authority can return with me. If Paul has done anything wrong, you can make your accusations." 8 or 10 days later, he returned to Caesarea, and on the following day, Paul's trial began. On Paul's arrival in court, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around and made many serious accusations they couldn't prove. Paul denied the charges. "I am not guilty," he said. "I have committed no crime against the Jewish laws or the temple or the Roman government." Then Festus wanted to please the Jews and asked him, "Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there?" But Paul replied, "No. This is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well I am not guilty. If I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, neither you nor anyone else has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar." Festus conferred with his advisors and then replied, "Very well. You have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you shall go." A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister Bernice to pay their respects to Festus. During their stay of several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. "There is a prisoner here," he told him, "whose case was left for me by Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the leading priests and other Jewish leaders pressed charges against him and asked me to sentence him. Of course, I quickly pointed out to them that Roman law does not convict people without a trial. They are given an opportunity to defend themselves face to face with their accusers. When they came here for the trial, I called the case the very next day and ordered Paul brought in. But the accusations made against him weren't at all what I expected. It was something about their religion and about someone called Jesus who died, but whom Paul insists is alive. I was perplexed as to how to conduct an investigation of this kind, and I asked him whether he'd be willing to stand trial on these charges in Jerusalem. But Paul appealed to the emperor, so I ordered him back to jail until I could arrange to send him to Caesar." "I'd like to hear the man myself," Agrippa said. And Festus replied, "You shall, tomorrow." So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived at the auditorium with great pomp, accompanied by military officers and prominent men of the city. Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa and all present, this is the man whose death is demanded both by the local Jews and by those in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing worthy of death. However, he appealed his case to the emperor, and I decided to send him. But what shall I write the emperor? For there is no real charge against him. So I have brought him before all of you, and especially you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, I might have something to write. For it doesn't seem reasonable to send a prisoner to the emperor without specifying the charges against him." Proverbs 18:19. It's harder to make amends with an offended friend than to capture a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with iron bars.